grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation in God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, beginning at the 21, excuse me, beginning at the 5th verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, while everybody else is looking around, because that's what they're doing, they're saying, look over here, look what's going on over there, how about this, what's happening over here, what, my word, what is taking place over here, people are all looking around, what do? Child of God, while they look around, you look up, you look to the good Lord. We celebrated Veterans Day recently, and on Veterans Day we remember those who were in the service, but it's actually more than that, isn't it? Or maybe a little more precise. We honor those who went through what the service is ultimately about, who went through combat, who went through warfare. I mean, all who serve have honor, but there is something different about those who went through the combat and the difficulty rather than those who simply wore the uniform. In our church district newsletter, they would often talk about the veterans of the cross. And by that, they meant the old retired pastors who could say with St. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Veterans of the cross. But of course, that doesn't just apply to preachers. Sometimes it doesn't apply to preachers at all, because wearing the uniform doesn't make you a veteran. Wearing the uniform doesn't make you a veteran. I'm going to pause there for a second. We'll come back to this. But it's getting to be that time of year. The season of Advent is drawing near for us, and as the season of Advent gets on the scene, the Bible readings in church start taking on a certain tone. We start talking about the end times. We start talking about the last things, things that are scary, like today's gospel lesson. And there's just a whole list of things there, aren't there? You got false prophets rising up. You have uproar among nations. You have earthquakes leveling towns. You have famines weakening people. You have disease picking people off. You have strange appearances in the sky. You have faith in Jesus considered to be a crime. You don't know who you can trust. People don't know where to turn. Terrible storms come that haven't been seen the like of before. The natural order starts falling apart. People collapse with fear and despair over the future. All kinds of scary things. And this isn't the first time, Luke 21, that such things are mentioned. Folks knew about this sort of thing back in the Old Testament lesson. Did you see our lesson from Malachi? It talked about the same things. Burn the day burning like stubble when the Lord returns. People have heard it for a long time from the mouth of the Lord. But many respond like they still do today. Isaiah chapter 30, and I quote, they said to the seers, you must not see visions. And to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy for us illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. You start mentioning the good Lord, and what do people do? They put their hands over their ears, and what do they say? La, 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 la. Tuning God out of the picture. He's not to be there. And when people talk like that, you really don't want to hear from them. They don't have anything to say. You want to hear from somebody who has actually something to say. A steady hand. An experienced believer in the faith. A veteran of the wars of the Lord. Someone whose words carry the weight of experience and the strain of the battle. Someone, when they speak, even more so when they act, you know that they've been there. And where are you going to find somebody like that? Well, I would put it to you, you'll find him in Luke chapter 21. Today's scripture chapter. Luke chapter 21. But you got to be careful, because you might start looking in the wrong places. Where do I look to find a veteran in the faith? And of course, the first place I would look, aside from our Lord Jesus, the first place I would look is where? I would look to his disciples, the called ones of God, the ones who are set apart for the ministry of the word. And where do we find them in the gospel lesson for today? Well, actually, what we find, if you read the gospel, Luke 21, and other accounts or some other recordings of the same account, what you see with the disciples is that they're all in the city of Jerusalem, and they're all a bunch of country boys, and they're all saying, "My word, look at that temple. Look at the temple." They got their phones out, and they're doing what? Taking, well, for me, it's two hands, all right. But they're going like this. And then what are they doing? They're going. That's where the disciples are. Some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings. See, these boys, and they are boys, and they're thinking, they still think the church is buildings. They still think the church is organizations. They still think the church is ministries. They still think the church is crowds. They still think the church is commotions. Somebody wrote about that long, long time ago, a fellow by the name of Aristotle. You ever heard of him? Greek philosopher. And this is what Aristotle had to say. We'll turn to the page. The Nicomachean Ethics, that's what the book is called, and this is what he said. He said, young people guide their lives by emotion. They pursue what's pleasant to themselves. They pursue the object of the moment. And the things that please them change as their age alters. Hence they both form friendships and drop them quickly. Since their affections alter with what gives them pleasure, and the tastes of youth change quickly. The young form attachments quickly, they give them up quickly, often changing before the day is out. Now, I don't know what Martin Luther would say about a Lutheran preacher quoting Aristotle for a sermon, but Jesus' disciples, it's true, they wear the uniform. They have been called by the Lord, and that's good. There's honor for all. That's a good thing. It's good that somebody steps forward to the plate, but let's be honest, there's no veterans here. They still talk young. They still think young. So where do we look? Luke chapter 21. We're still there. Maybe we can find there are veterans still. It says that many wealthy people were giving substantial gifts to the temple, to the church. These are the people who donated the noble stones, the people who donated all of the offerings that the disciples were so amazed by. And you know you need that. You do need offerings. We still got to pay the power bill. The lights have to be on. Things like that have to happen. That's not the most important reason why, but those things are realities. And so what do we say? Maybe the veterans are these folks who are the big contributors of time or treasure or talent, like we just talked about a moment ago. Well, they could be. But in Luke chapter 21, Jesus doesn't look in their direction. The disciples, no doubt, are impressed, but Jesus says, no, no, let's not look over there. Instead, I got to keep looking for a veteran. A veteran of the cross to hold before my disciples. Somebody who, for long years, has had to carry the cross, its weight, its splinters, all the difficulties that it brings, all the plans you had in life, and you were going to go this way, and you were going to go this way, and it was going to turn out like this, and what happens? It drags you a different direction. It slows you down. You don't seem to be able to reach your goals. A veteran, somebody who for long years has found no hope for themselves except trusting in Jesus' cross, the pardon of the cross, the forgiveness of the cross. A veteran, somebody who for long years doesn't find any hope except in leaving everything in God's hands. That's where I have to leave it. You see, that's the kind of faith you're going to need for the terrible days that come, the Lord says they'll come, when God's people get sifted like wheat, to use our Lord Jesus' words. So where do we look? Luke chapter 21. And Jesus looked up, and he saw all the rich people putting their gifts into the temple treasury. And he saw a poor widow woman putting in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they all out of their surplus put into the offering. But she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on. You have heard that account before, probably many times if you've been in church. And what you may have heard as well, too, is that what this is saying to us is that we should all learn to be sacrificially generous. Well, beware of all you words, should, ought, could, things like that. Beware of such words. We should all learn to be sacrificially generous, just like her. And that may be true, and that possibly is true, probably is true, but is that what she's about? Generosity? Or is she about something else? Are we given instead a picture of faith? A book of James, the Apostle James, that's what he thought. This is what he said. He said, listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which the Lord has promised to those who love him? Because when that elderly widow drops her coins into the treasury, we'd say the offering plate, she drops everything into the hands of God. She drops it all into the hands of God, and the Lord himself is all that she has to live on. The Lord himself is all that she has to live on. And I would ask you, is it any different for you? Is it any different? Do you have something else other than the Lord Jesus to live on? Something apart from him? I mean, think about it for a moment. What is the hope of an unbelieving person? And I think we could summarize it in two simple words. The hope of an unbelieving person is this world. This world. If I have this world, I have hope. If I don't have this world, I lose hope. If things aren't going the way that I hope they are in this world, what do? I fall to pieces. Look around, look around, look around. What's happening? What's happening? Everywhere I turn, there is no hope because all I have is this world. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, what hope do you have? You also have two words. Not this world, but Jesus Christ. That's what you have. Now, when our Lord told his disciples that their temple and everything in this world was going to be destroyed, he knocked them off their feet. They didn't know what to do with it. It knocked their world over because they were, no matter how many years in life, they were still boys in their faith, in their thinking. And so what did they do? look at the lesson and you recognize they did something that I know you've done before as well too. They said, Lord, give us a sign. If I could just see a sign, then everything would be okay. I need something to steady me. And Jesus said, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on earth distress of nations, this is all in the chapter, in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, and people fainting with fear and with foreboding over what is coming on the world, because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And you say, that's not the sign I wanted. But then the Lord says, yes, it is. Because when that sign comes, then you, starting at verse 28, when these things begin to take place, straighten up. Raise your head, because your redemption is drawing near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Heaven and earth will pass away. They will. But my words will not pass away. In other words, while everybody else is looking around, what about this? What about that? How come that's happening? Why is this going to be like that? What's going to happen in the future? Where everybody else is looking around, where do you look? You look up. You look up. Now you look up in faith. And then when the day comes, you look up in sight as you see the Lord return. What does the old hymn say? My hope, I don't know about anybody else, but my hope is built on what? Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I don't care how good it looks for now. I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Because if I have his blood and righteousness, because if I'm saved, because if I have eternal life, then I've got everything already what I pray about in the Lord's Prayer. What do I pray? I say, Lord, may your name be hallowed. It is being hallowed. You're righteous in Christ. Lord, may your kingdom come. It did come. I believe in the Lord Jesus. Lord, thy will be done. I can trust you to lead me in the right way in all things. Give us this day our what? Daily bread, because God still cares about this life for us. Forgive us our trespasses, they were forgiven on the cross. Lead us not into temptation. The Lord holds you up in your faith. Deliver us from evil. And then you say, yes, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You can say that every day. And so it is. With all the frightening things and all the terrors and all the horrors of the end of the world, with all the troubles and the struggles of the present life, we come back to one poor old widow. We find a veteran of faith, because when she drops her coins into the treasury, she drops in everything into the hands of God. The good Lord is all that she has to live on. And is it different for you? Is it different for you? The Lord Jesus is all that you have to live on. What did he say? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and you come to the Father through me. That's the only way you live. That's the only way you're saved. You have the Lord Jesus. Any veteran of the faith will tell you that. And they will also tell you that while everybody else is looking around and saying, what about this and what about that and what about the other thing? You, child of God, you look up. You look to the Lord. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, be to keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.